Turning this morning to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to read just a few verses from verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. Paul writes here, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." Amen. We'll finish there at verse 21. Praying the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. It's verse 20 that I want to come to this morning, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Looking at the theme this morning, Christians and thanksgiving. Christians and thanksgiving. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. With our Bibles open there, let's seek the Lord together in prayer. Let's pray for his blessing upon his precious word. Father, we do thank thee for this day, and we bless thee for the privilege and opportunity to be in thy house and with thy people and around thy word. We ask now as we come to that word that, Lord, thou wilt minister by thy Spirit to our hearts. May we not come to this portion of the service and think that we don't need to be active anymore in our thinking. We can just close off and shut down. We ask, Lord, rather today that thou would stir our hearts and help us, Father, as we ponder thy word. We thank thee that all scripture has been given by inspiration and is profitable for us. We pray that as we ponder this theme, Lord, thou would make it profitable to our souls and ever make us a thankful people for all of thy blessings all of the time. Help us to glorify thee. So hear and answer prayer. Abide with us now, we ask. We pray these things in our Savior's name. Amen. In 4 days' time, all over this vast nation, people will gather together with family and friends to celebrate another Thanksgiving Day. The earliest reference to this particular tradition stretches back to the early 1600s, at least as far as I can tell, and the desire by the early pilgrims to show their gratitude for the first successful harvest that they gathered in after landing on these shores. It's reported at that time that the early pilgrims were joined by Native Americans and that their celebration was essentially a 3-day festival. It's not clear even at that time that the pilgrims spoke of this as a Thanksgiving feast. But certainly over time, and as years have rolled by and under various governors and various presidents, the idea for a national Thanksgiving Day gathered momentum. And as a result, this has become a part of the American way of life. A time when normal business is suspended, families and friends get together, and when the day is properly observed, thanks are given to God for his continual grace and favor. In fact, a Thanksgiving Day without reference to God seems to make a mockery of the whole idea. Thanksgiving Day is a very happy time, probably because of the gathering together of family and friends, but it's also a very important time for any nation to stop and think about the Lord. But of course, Thanksgiving and giving thanks to God did not begin with the early pilgrims in the 1600s. It's mentioned numerous times in the Old Testament, and God's people were exhorted to give thanks unto the Lord. And when you move into New Testament times, there are multiple references to the very same theme. In fact, one of the remarkable features of Paul's letters to the churches is that very often he commences by giving thanks to God for them. That note of praise, that note of gratitude, was not just empty rhetoric by the apostle. As Paul considered the various congregations that he was instrumental in forming, the congregations of the Lord's people, as he thought about their faith and their love, And as you read through those letters, you ought to mark very carefully how often Paul brings those two themes together. Their faith increased, and as their faith increased, their love increased as well. But as he thought about their faith and love, thought about their unity and their maturity, thought about their dedication and their devotion to the Lord, it filled him with joy. And as a result of him being filled with joy on account of those things, he gave thanks to God for the various congregations. There is an example of that in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Look back there at what Paul is saying in those verses. Verse 15, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints." There are those two words brought together, faith and love. And you'll find that numerous times in Paul's letters. Of course, there's a great connection. As our faith in Christ increases, and as we walk with him, our love to the saints of God is going to flourish as well. The two things are connected. And therefore, we can ask, if our love is not what it ought to be among the saints of God, is it the case that our faith towards Christ is not what it ought to be either in those matters? But that's a point for another day. He says, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He gave thanks for the people of God. Now that reference to thanks in Ephesians chapter 1 is the first of three references in this short letter. The other two are found here in chapter 5. In fact, Ephesians chapter 5 could well be described as depicting a spirit-filled Christian life. For right at the heart of these verses, in verse 18, lies the great exhortation to the Lord's people, not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but to be filled with the Holy Ghost. But you need to understand what Paul is doing in verse 18. In the earlier part of the chapter, he has dealt with the theme of walking in love, walking as the children of God. You find that in verses 1 and 2 of the chapter. In other words, these believers in Ephesus were not to walk as the world. They were not to walk in sin. They were not to walk according to their own lusts. Rather, they were to walk as followers of Jesus Christ. There was to be a very clear contrast between those believers and the unbelievers in that particular city. The church of Christ was to be different. It was to be under the influence of the Spirit of God. That's the thought behind the words in verse 18. "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." A drunk man, a man filled with wine or alcohol, is under the influence of that alcohol. He's under the influence of that drink. His actions, his words, his behavior, his ambitions are all dictated by the wine or by the alcohol that he is consumed. He is controlled by that, or he is mastered by it. Therefore, when Paul says, "Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit," he is speaking directly to the truth that the Christian is to be directed or controlled or influenced by the Holy Ghost. As believers, we are to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading. As Christians, we are to be taught by the Holy Spirit. We are to be guided by him. We are to be empowered by him. As it is here, we are to be filled with the Spirit of God. And of course, it's a continual filling by the Holy Ghost. But then Paul goes on to mention two great areas where that fullness of the Holy Ghost will be seen. The first is in our attitude towards the Lord, verses 19 and 20. The second is in our attitude towards each other. And that section runs from verse 21 of chapter 5 into the close of verse 9 of chapter 6. Now that section of this letter, from verse 21 of chapter 5 into the 6th chapter, that section of this letter is very, very important. When Martin Lloyd-Jones, the Welsh preacher in London, preached through Ephesians, he entitled this section as "Life in the Spirit in Marriage, Home, and Work." Therefore, it's a vital section of the letter. You see, being filled with the Spirit is a critical aspect of a happy and harmonious Christian home. Whether we deal with husbands and wives, or with parents and children, or children and parents, a spirit-filled life is important. A spirit-filled husband will endeavor to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And a spirit-filled wife will want to submit to her husband as the church submits to Christ. The same truth applies between parents and children, and between employers and employees in chapter 6. Where we know the power and the fullness and the blessing of the Holy Ghost, we will be far better equipped to live godly lives among others. But it's not that latter section I want to focus on. It's the first section that Paul mentions, that we begin to show forth the fact that we're filled with the Holy Ghost, this aspect regarding our attitude to the Lord. Look at verse 19 and 20. He tells them, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. A spirit-filled life will also be seen in our attitude to God, in our worship and our praise of Him. Those who are filled with the Holy Ghost will praise God in the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They will also make melody in their heart unto the Lord. There will be a desire to praise Him. And that praise of God that comes by being filled with the Spirit of God will most certainly involve the giving of thanks. That's referred to in verse 20. Now note the connection there in verse 19 and verse 20, and notice all the words that are used in those verses, the connection between the speaking and the singing and the making and the giving of thanks. All of those things flow from being filled with the Holy Ghost, and they bring glory to God's name as we praise Him. Now, giving thanks is something that parents teach their children to do as soon as they're able to speak. Or at least we should. One of the first things we teach our little ones when someone gives them something, or we do something for them, or we help them in some way, we teach them to be grateful. We teach them to appreciate what has been done or what has been given to them. We want them to express thanks to others. It may be in a very childlike way, the words that they use. It may just be an acknowledgement or something. But we teach them from they are able to be taught that one of the first things in life is to give thanks. And we seek to develop that as our children grow older. And we will, if we're wise parents at least, we will correct them if they fail to give thanks. And I've heard parents here say to their children, what do you say? Someone gives them something, what do you say? And they will wait until their child says thanks, or whatever word is used to acknowledge that sense of appreciation. How much more, if we do that in the natural realm with our children, how much more should we not take heed to giving thanks as children to our Heavenly Father, thanking Him for His goodness and His mercy, and for the fact that He is God, and He is our God. And so as our thoughts this week move towards Thanksgiving Day, and I know it's a busy time for many of you, but as our thoughts move towards Thanksgiving Day, time off with family and time to get together and enjoy a meal, I think it's good when our thoughts are in that direction just to pause and consider what true Thanksgiving is really all about. So let's notice here from this text, first of all, very simply, the importance of proper Thanksgiving. The importance of proper thanksgiving, the impact of salvation in the life of a person is described in different ways throughout Scripture. John chapter 1, verse 12, for example, the word is that those who receive Christ or who believe on Christ are given the power to become the sons of God. We become the sons of God. In 2 Corinthians 5, 17, the statement is that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, we're described as children of the day. All of those descriptions emphasize a particular aspect of our Christianity. And what is true of those verses that I've just quoted is also true of Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, where John speaks of us being washed from our sins in Christ's own precious blood. He goes on to say, therefore, we are made kings and priests unto God. I want you to think of that phrase, we are made priests unto God. What does that mean? Of course, it gives rise to the phrase or the truth of the priesthood of believers. But what does it mean to be a priest unto God? In what sense are we priests unto God? Well, it's certainly not in the sense of offering something for sin or making atonement for sin, for Christ has offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. He has offered himself once and for all. We don't have to offer anything by way of atonement. Christ has completed that work. So in what sense are we priests? We don't offer sacrifices for sin, but we offer spiritual sacrifices. And primary among those spiritual sacrifices is the sacrifice of praise. Hebrews 13, verse 15 tells us, by him, by Christ, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now we are made kings and priests unto God. And as priests unto God, believers offer the sacrifice of praise. And that sacrifice of praise involves the giving of thanks to God. I want to note that connection very carefully, because that means that this giving of thanks is an essential part of our Christianity. A thankless Christian is really a contradiction in terms. There is something wrong if we have no heart to give thanks to God. C.H. Spurgeon called this a pleasant duty. Thomas Manton described it as something that is excellent. Of course, it's not something the ungodly see that way. Have you ever noticed one of the characteristics that will mark the last days? Paul talks to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He outlines the nature of those last days, the days before Christ's return. He lists the wickedness that's going to appear and it's going to develop and engulf many at that time. And he says in verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. He gives Timothy a warning. Then he says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Now it's easy to read that list of sins and that list of wickedness and not really pay much attention to it. But as I read those words this past week and looked at that list, I more and more realized that those things are all connected. Those who are selfish and covetous and proud are usually unthankful as well. In fact, much of the wicked behavior that appears in the world stems from an unthankful heart. That's what Paul argues in Romans chapter 1. Verse 21, he says, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. What he's saying there is when they heard of God, they knew of God, but they didn't glorify him as God, and they were unthankful. They were not thankful to God. And then they became vain in their imaginations and foolish in their hearts. And their foolish hearts were darkened. They were unthankful, and from that unthankfulness flowed a whole catalog of sins against the Lord. Their thanklessness became the root of other matters. It's essentially the mark of the unconverted. God is not in all his thoughts. The unsaved person thinks he doesn't need to thank God. It's not in his mind. Because the unsaved person believes himself to be self-sufficient. He doesn't need Christ. That's what he thinks. And therefore he doesn't thank the Lord. But it's entirely different for the believer. The child of God recognizes the mercies of God in his own life, and therefore he thanks God for them. It's an essential part of our Christian life. That's why Paul talks the way he does in Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is part of our Christian living. I want you to think this through for a moment. True thanksgiving reveals our sincere love to God. I've mentioned the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 3, where he spoke of those who were unthankful. In the same passage, he said that those same people were lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He also identifies them as lovers of their own selves. I want you to think about that for a moment. Their love for God was absent, but their love for pleasure and their love for self was very much a reality. They had no love for the Lord, and therefore they were unthankful. Unloving and unthankful. But those who truly do love the Lord will truly thank Him. They will not only recognize God as the source of all their blessings and as the supplier of all their needs and as the one in sovereign control of all their affairs, but they will love Him for who He is and what He has done for them and in their lives. And the more they love Him, the more we love God, the more we will thank Him for His goodness and His grace to us. True love will always translate itself into true praise. Psalm 28 and verse 7 said, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." Notice the reference, the double reference to the heart. I rejoice and I trust Him because our heart's in love with Him. And because her heart or his heart is set upon the Lord, what does he do? He praises Him with his song. And the more we love God, the more we will thank Him. Because thanksgiving, true thanksgiving, is a revelation of the love in our hearts for Him. Furthermore, true thanksgiving displays our humble obedience to God. Not just our sincere love, but our humble obedience. Giving thanks is God's will for His people. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18 records, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Believer, with those words we are left in no doubt whether this is the right thing to do or not. This is not really something we have to pray over. Should I give thanks to God or should I not? It's not something we ought to debate in our minds. This is the will of God. He has revealed that to us. God requires it. It is His express command. We are repeatedly exhorted, praise the Lord. And there are numerous times in Scripture where we are told to give thanks unto Him. You think of Psalm 30, verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness." Have you ever stopped when we're singing the hymn, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty," and as you're singing that, have you stopped to thank God for His holiness? Or in home when you're reading your Scriptures and you're thinking about the Lord and you're thinking through His attributes and how just and holy and good and merciful and powerful He is, have you stopped and thanked Him for that? We are commanded to do that. Psalm 106, verse 1, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever." It's what we've been singing already this morning. His mercies endure. His mercies are sure. Believer, when we begin to think of that and begin to think of the person of our God, leaving aside what God gives to us, and we ought to thank Him for that, but just considering the person of God, we're commanded to praise Him. We're commanded to give thanks to Him for who He is. Therefore, true thanksgiving is not just a revelation of our sincere love. It's a display of our humble obedience. You want to walk in God's will? Start by giving Him thanks. Because that's God's will for us in Christ. Furthermore, true thanksgiving is part of close communion with God. It's part of close communion with God. Fellowship and prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. So let's not be worried or filled with care, but let's bring those things, our requests, with prayer and supplication in a spirit of thanksgiving unto God. Therefore, when we come to worship and commune with Him and fellowship with Him in our prayer times, thanksgiving ought to be a feature of those times of prayer. How can we honor God in prayer or request new mercies from God in prayer if we are not thankful for the mercies we have already received? Thanksgiving is part of communing with God. As we come apart into that quiet place where we meet with Him, or we come here week by week, Wednesday by Wednesday, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, each week to pray. Let's come with thankful hearts. Because that giving of thanks is a vital part of our communion with God. In fact, I'll go as far as to say regular prayer without thanksgiving is missing something that's critical. We ought to give thanks. And furthermore, true thanksgiving is an aspect of testifying for God. It's an aspect of testifying for God. The psalmist said, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among the people." And those are not three different exhortations there. Give thanks, call upon His name, make known His deeds. They're all connected. Thanksgiving and testimony go hand in hand. This is something every believer can do. It's something every believer ought to take note of. We can't all become missionaries across the world. We can't all give vast amount of money to the work of God. Sometimes we feel we can't do much, we can't go far. Not everyone can hold office in a local congregation. But every believer can be thankful. Every believer can take up the words of verse 20 here and take them to heart, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May we ever be a thankful people. The importance of proper thanksgiving. But verse 20 gives us instruction for proper thanksgiving as well. It not only teaches that we should give thanks, it teaches how we should give thanks. Look closely at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now there are four things in that verse that I want to draw your attention to. First of all, we are to give thanks at all times. We are to give thanks at all times. There are times when we feel like giving thanks, and there are times when we don't. It's always easier to give thanks when things are going the way we want them to go in life. Easier to give thanks when we are happy and healthy. Easier to give thanks when we have no family problems. The children are doing what they're asked to do. When the young people are keeping with the rules that we've set in place for home life. It's happier and it's easier to be thankful when that's the case. It's easier to be thankful when we have no financial problems either. And things are going well and our needs are met and we're reasonably comfortable. It's always easier when life is easy. This text goes beyond that. It says, giving thanks always. In other words, at all times. At all times. We are to give thanks at all times. That means, believer, even in the darkest of times as well as the brightest of times. Now that's hard. That's a hard thing to do. When things around us seem to be collapsing and things around us seem to be crumbling. And when trouble comes our way and batters against our door, we are very prone to be like the Israelites in the wilderness. Sometimes we read of the Israelites and we see them murmuring and complaining and talking about going back to Egypt and raising up another captain instead of Moses and asking God, why have you brought us this way? And we look at them and we say, what an ungrateful bunch of people. If we were living in the wilderness 40 years, going through what they had to go through, would we complain too? Sometimes we complain at a whole lot less. But when trouble comes, we're likely to react as they reacted and not give thanks. Not give thanks in those hard times. But Job gave thanks at hard times. Whenever his family were taken from him in death, he said, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he worshipped. He worshipped God. Believer, let me suggest something here, that we make Thanksgiving a daily work. Not just the fourth Thursday of every November. But let us make this a daily work. In Acts chapter 2, you read there of the new converts, those who have been converted on the day of Pentecost, and they praised God daily. Every day, this was a matter of praise for them. Let that be true for us also. They were always thankful. Let us start the day with thanks. And whatever that day holds for us, let us close the day with thanks. Thanks unto God. Notice also we are to give thanks not only at all times, we are to give thanks for all things. That's what the verse teaches, giving thanks always for all things. On one occasion, Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, was robbed by thieves. He wrote this in his diary, having thought about the experience of just being robbed. He wrote this in his diary, let me be thankful. First of all, because I have never been robbed before. Second, because although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Third, because though they took my all, it was not much. And fourth, because it was I who was robbed, not I who robbed. Think of that. Even in the midst of being robbed and losing money, he's thanking God for all things. He finds something in his circumstances that enables him to thank the Lord. And believer, according to this text, we are to do the same. Giving thanks always for all things. Let me mention some things here and let us take these to heart. We are to thank God for all his provision for us. The material and temporal provision God provides. We looked at a little at that on Wednesday night whenever Joseph filled his brother's sacks with corn and gave them provision for the way as they went back to their father. Genesis 42. But think of all the temporal provision God gives to us. Food, clothes, health and strength, the ability to be about and come to the house of God. All of those temporal, material things that God provides. Think primarily, though, about the spiritual blessings that God has given to us. He provides us our daily bread, but more than that, he has given us his Son, Jesus Christ, who is described as bread from heaven. Paul writes to the Corinthians and says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's thank God not just for our temporal provision, but for our spiritual provision. To think that He sent His Son to be our Savior and all that that entailed. Let's remind ourselves of that. Let's thank Him for that. We ought to thank Him too for the trials and afflictions that He sends. James 1 verse 2, James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Diverse trials. That's what he's thinking of. Count it all joy. We don't do that very often. What he means is reckon it to be a joyful thing. Afflictions are from God. They are appointed by Him. And He appoints them in His wisdom. He appoints them in His goodness. He appoints them because He loves us. I understand that's hard to get our heads around and our hearts around when trials come. Those trials can be sore. They can be grievous. But believer, even in those dark trials, thank God that His hand is upon you. In Hebrews 10, verse 34, the words are, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. You took the spoiling of your goods joyfully. It was a trial for them. But they rejoiced in it. Let us do the same, even in the midst of affliction. We suggest also we thank Him for the mercies we see and the mercies we don't see. God's mercies are new every morning. But some we are not conscious of. We escape so much by way of sickness, so much by way of injury, so much by way of unrest. Believer, we take those things for granted. But we should make them items for praise. Mercies we don't even see. There are mercies we do see, and we ought to thank God for those as well. You know, if you're in a near car wreck, almost wrecked in a car accident, you just escaped, managed to steer yourself out of that problem, you thank God for His hand upon you. Mercies that you can see. What about all the journeys we take and we never see anything like that? We drive from home to church, and home to work, and home to wherever. And it's an uneventful journey. Do we ever thank God for those unseen mercies that have kept us safe? We ought to thank Him also for His ongoing promises to us. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He will bring all His people home to glory without missing one of them. Those are things we can thank God for. Therefore, we can thank Him for all things. John Bradford was a preacher during the reign of Queen Mary, Bloody Mary. She was intent at that time on persecuting believers and Protestants and putting many of them to death. Someone asked John Bradford about his circumstances, and he said this, I have no quarrel with the Queen. If she releases me, I will thank her. If she imprison me, I will thank her. And if she burn me, I will thank her. He knew whatever she did, God was in sovereign control of it all. Giving thanks for all things. Believer, that's where we need to be. Notice here also in the third place in this verse that we are to give thanks unto God our Father. This is all under the instruction for proper thanksgiving. We are to give thanks unto God our Father. That's what Paul says. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are times when we need to thank those around us. People who come to help us and assist us or encourage us. And it's right, it's proper that we give thanks to them for what they have done for us. But our chief thanksgiving should be to God Himself. You think of it, all good gifts. That means all our good friends who come with their gifts to us, to help us, to encourage us, all those things come to us from above. God is our great benefactor. He is the one who blesses us. He is the one who orders all things at all times and in all ways for our good. Believer, let's see life that way. He orders all things at all times in all ways for our good. Therefore, let us not thank men, but forget to thank God. We owe him our praise. He deserves our praise. He not only demands it, but he deserves our praise, and he delights in our praise as well. And notice how the text is put here, unto God and the Father. He is our Heavenly Father. You know, we love it when our children come to us and they thank us for something we've done for them. We ought to thank God as our Heavenly Father for what he is and who he is and what he does. Let our praise be given to him. Notice in the fourth place, our thanksgiving is to be in Christ's name. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our mediator. He is our mediator. Therefore, our praises and our gratitude ought to be presented in his name, for his sake and for his glory. And as Christ is our mediator and presents our prayers to the Father, he presents our thanksgiving also. We do it in his name, thanking God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take heed to these things and give ourselves to giving thanks. When you think of giving thanks, we're giving, we're not receiving. We're a naturally selfish people. We looked at that last Lord's Day morning. We thought of the sin of selfishness. When we come to give thanks, we're not being selfish. We're giving thanks. We're giving thanks for mercies received in grateful appreciation and acknowledgement of the one who gives them to us. Let us therefore take heed to this and be proper and faithful in our thanksgiving. The importance of true thanksgiving, the instruction for true thanksgiving. Let me suggest something quickly about the impact of true thanksgiving. Giving thanks is good for the soul. It's one of those cases where it's better to give than to receive. We give thanks. What difference does it make? What impact does it have upon us? Well, first of all, it glorifies God. Giving thanks glorifies God. What is our chief purpose here? What's our chief end? Our chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Believer, you can glorify God. Praise is comely. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth the Lord. If we praise him, if we give thanks to him, we're glorifying him. We're ascribing to God the glory that is due to his name. That's our chief end. That's why we're here, to magnify him, to glorify him, to exalt his name. So in a very simple way, from the youngest child here today to the oldest adult, we can all give thanks to God. And in giving thanks to God, we glorify him. Let me suggest also that giving thanks aids us in prayer. Sometimes we find prayer hard. We looked at that theme last Lord's Day as well. Let me suggest one way to encourage your prayer life is to start by giving thanks. You begin to thank God for his mercies to you, temporal, spiritual, personal, family, church, nationally. Begin to thank him. The more you thank God in prayer, the more you'll discover your heart being stirred to pray. It's a tremendous aid in prayer. Furthermore, thanksgiving encourages our joy. You can't truly thank God and remain a joyless Christian. Start thanking him. Start praising him for all the blessings he has given to you. Start thinking about his wonderful person. Start thinking about his word and about the graces and the mercies and the blessings he has bestowed upon you. And I guarantee before long you will be filled with joy. Giving thanks. Giving thanks encourages our joyfulness in Christ. Why are so many believers at times so joyless? Because they've lost sight of giving thanks to God. Furthermore, thanksgiving puts us in a compassionate frame towards others. A compassionate frame towards others. You know, we begin to thank God for the mercies He's given to us. You begin to realize there, but for the grace of God go I, when you look at others, and you begin to realize I have what I have because of the Lord's grace to me. That will fill us with a love and a heart and a pity and a compassion for those who are less off than we are. For those who are unsaved and in their sin and been ruined by sin, when we think of what the Lord has done for us and we thank Him for that, and we realize it's not of us, it's all of Him, it's all of grace and nothing of myself, then you begin to pray, Lord, grant grace to that person too, that they would enjoy what I enjoy in Jesus Christ. It gives us a compassionate frame of mind. Thanksgiving acts as a restraint in sin. Can you thank Christ and the Father in heaven for the plan of redemption? Thank Him for His agony on the cross, for our sin, for my sin, for your sin, and then go back and sin again? Without a thought? Thanksgiving acts as a restraint in sin. Let us thank the Lord that He has saved us not in our sin, but He has saved us from our sins. And then thanksgiving prepares us for glory too. Because when we get home to glory, we will praise His glorious name. And see, it's Spurgeon came to this passage in Acts or in Ephesians 5. And notice the position of this text and the position of the truth in relation to what follows it. He made this comment: it would seem that thanksgiving is the preface to a holy life, the foundation of obedience, the vestibule of sanctity. Our lives should be anointed with the precious oil of thankfulness. Let me close by making this comment: giving thanks to God promotes a happy and a holy life. Giving thanks to God promotes a happy and a holy life. It's going to affect husbands and wives, because that's what follows in the chapter. It's going to affect parents and children, children and their parents. It's going to affect employees and employers. Where believers are concerned, let us give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let our thanksgiving not just be kept for one day in the year. A happy day though that is, let us be a people who are continually giving thanks. In Jesus' name, let's bow in prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy word. We pray today that Thou will bless it to our hearts and help us to take it to heart. We do thank Thee, Lord, that we have so much to thank Thee for. And as we gather with family and friends this week and enjoy time together, we pray, Lord, that our hearts and minds might be filled with thanksgiving to Thee. Do that today and tomorrow and the days of this year and every day of our lives. Make us to be a thankful people. We thank Thee for Christ and His great work on the cross. Our Father, we pray that Thou would help us to glorify Thy name. Part us now with Thy blessing. Take us our different ways in safety. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.